The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory
be to you, Lord. God be on my mind, my lips, in my heart. The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him, there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now, one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
The solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe. That's the full formal name of this feast. It's less than 100 years old, you know. It was established by Pope Pius XI in 1925. It's unusual in that it is an idea feast. Most of the solemnities we celebrate, every Sunday is a solemnity, is a remembrance of an event in the life of Jesus. A few, however, are celebrations of some aspect of the identity of Jesus. Trinity Sunday is another idea feast. So also is the Feast of Corpus Christi. It's a bold statement, Jesus Christ, King of the universe. To call Jesus King is also to turn the idea of kingship as we humans understand and have practiced it completely upside down. My personal theory is that the job of king, of leadership and governance, probably evolved from when our ancient ancestors were wandering around the primordial forest in family groups or tribal groups. Someone, a man or a woman, would emerge as the best suited to keep the group unified and to defend the perimeter. It's a good idea. Not perfect, because then, of course, those groups would come into conflict, and the one with the biggest club or the most club wielders would begin to build larger groups by subjugating the weaker ones. It's our brokenness showing off again. These human kingdoms were created by force and fear of force. Even today, if monarchy exists at all, it is either an inconsequential window dressing for some other form where the real governance takes place, or it retains its prominence only by force, repression, and fear. Again, our broken human culture. But that is not at all descriptive of the kingdom from which the Christ of God comes and to which he invites us all. The invitation of Christ is completely countercultural. What is there to fear about a king who ascends to his throne by way of dying, naked, in agony, the subject of mockery and derision? It doesn't seem like we could be forced to submit to him? What is there that would cause us to voluntarily follow him if that is how he gets his power? It is precisely this, and it's beautifully articulated by Eleanor Stump, who is a professor of philosophy at St. Louis University. She writes, "All the power of God is there in the love shown by Christ's painful death. To bring us to himself, God will suffer even the torment of death on a cross. Love that is willing to suffer is greater than power that is able to coerce." Write that on your breakfast plate and look at it every morning. The crowds, the powerful, the first of the crucified criminals to speak, they all were looking for a kingship based on fear and coercion, power as the world understands power. So it is with every dominant culture in our world. The one we call the good thief was somehow able to see the overwhelming strength of the love that was being lived out by Jesus as he hung right next to him. How clearly are we able to see that? How often do we see it? And how soon do we forget it? When does the divine culture, that invincible love, break through here and now? What does it take? I think it's obvious, although we're still trying, when we who now constitute the body of Christ, when we allow ourselves to see that love in action in the world right now around us, when we recognize its presence and its power in our own lives, and when we live it fully as Jesus lived it. That's the hard part. We're still working toward that. At communion today, I will be praying for the eyes to see the power of that love and the strength to live it more often and more fully. I invite you to join me.